I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. If you hear the wrong thing, it'll feed confusion. It'll feed fear. That'll increase. Especially if you get to the place where you act on confusion or you act on fear, that's when terrible things happen. But if you'll feed on the right thing, it'll push the fear and doubt out. Mm-hmm. And it'll leave in its place peace and strength, confidence, expectation of good.
Yeah.
Go ahead, say it out loud, class. Say the Spirit of the Lord,
the Spirit of the Lord
is on me.
The blessing of the Lord
is on my life.
The favor of the Lord
surrounds me. And good things are happening
for me
today.
Hallelujah.
Those are scriptures we're quoting. That is the will of God for you and me. We have been for weeks now in this series we're calling Faith for Provision. We're going one by one through 30, and now we're going on to 40 reasons why we're sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And don't take this lightly. If you're not settled, if you're not convinced of what we're talking about, that's a big problem for you. If you're not sure whether it's God's will for you to be healed or not, you can't have faith for healing. Someone says, well, maybe I can't. No, you can't. Just by right of what faith is. Faith comes from hearing what he said. You got to be persuaded. You got to be convinced. If you're not sure God wants you to have plenty of material, financial provision, if you're not sure of that, you can't have faith for it. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, you can work for it. You can lie and steal. I mean, there's any number of ways people try to get it. But I'm talking about getting it from God. You can't have faith in God to help you get it or add it to you until you are persuaded.
Yes.
Of what? Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Say it again, abundant provision.
Abundant provision
is always
God's will
for me.
For me.
Today is God's will for me to have everything I need. Pay my bills.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes.
This week?
Yes.
This month?
Yes,
it's God's will for me, not for me to be behind, but for me to have everything I need every quarter, every year. In fact, God's will is advancement, that you build. You don't gain and lose and gain and lose a step forward, step or two back. That's not progress. If you'll follow God's plan for your life, and that's a big if, you're going to have to pray and seek him about it. You're going to have to listen to him and obey him. But if you'll do that, you'll find that you'll come out of some of the struggle that you'd been bothered with in the past, and you'll be done with that part. And then you'll begin to gain something. And you'll get your own place. Get your own vehicle. Get your own money. And then you'll get more. And then you'll be able to help other people more than you have. And it just keeps coming up and coming up. Next thing you know, you're helping the kingdom more and the church and ministries, and that's God's will
Yes, sir.
For everybody. the path of the just gets brighter and brighter. Somebody say, I'm coming up.
I'm coming up.
From faith to faith.
From faith to faith.
From glory to glory.
From glory to glory.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Coming up. I'm not going down, and I'm not staying the same. I'm coming up.
Coming up.
You know how you can tell if you believe that or not?
Mm-hmm.
Excitement. Huh? And how much excitement shows how much you believe it.
Yes.
No excitement means no believing. Huh? A little bit of excitement means believing a little bit. Huh? A lot of excitement means you flat are expecting this, right? You are really expecting this, which means you're persuaded. Well, if you say, well, Brother Keith, I feel like maybe it's just a little bit. Glad you're here today.
Yes.
That's what we do here, right? And you can tell as you're developing and growing that persuasion, that getting settled and solid just gets stronger. And then that produces that hope, that excitement, that expectation gets stronger. And instead of dreading tomorrow, you begin to look forward to tomorrow, because good things are happening for you.
Yes.
Glory to God. Look with me in Acts, the 4th chapter again. We're down to our 30th reason why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And it's because of, number 30, the beginning days of the church. God never changes. This is something you want as an anchor in your thinking and believing. He does not change. Perfection doesn't need to change. When you know the end from the beginning, you're not always updating. Right? Don't need to. And that's our God. And so the way what He has revealed in the beginning days of the church was His will, is His will be His will. And in the beginning days of the church, we saw in the 2nd chapter, we saw again in the 4th chapter, everybody's needs were met. Mm-hmm. In a church of thousands and then tens of thousands. Everybody?
Yes, sir.
Everybody? This is wonderful. Is it God's will?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Can God do it today?
Yes,
in our time?
Yes, sir.
Aren't we a part of the same church?
Yes.
Same Jesus, same Holy Spirit, same gospel. In the 4th chapter, in verse 4, 5,000 people were added to the church. And then in verse 32, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. There was unity and there was love. Love, if you look in 1 Corinthians 13, gives some of the characteristics of the God kind of love. In our modern world and society, the word love has been polluted, diluted, altered, changed. People don't know the difference between loving pizza and loving God. But when we say love, we're talking about God. God is love. And 1 Corinthians 13 lists several of the outstanding characteristics. One of them is love seeks not its own.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said this in Philippians, I guess it was. He said that he had noted that all seek their own. Pretty much in the world, most people you encounter, they're thinking about what they want, what they need, how they can get ahead. Well, that's just common being an unbeliever. And it's far too common as believers if you let your flesh dominate you. Because the nature of the flesh is self-focused.
Yes, sir.
But the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and if we let that love grow in us and influence us more than our flesh, we cease being selfish. And we start looking outside of ourselves. And we have a bigger vision than ourselves. And that's when you begin to be available for God to use, to minister to other people other than just taking care of yourself. None of them said that it's just mine. Verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked. I know I read it to you before, but I want to read it to you again in these other translations. It is so wonderful. One translation says, not one among them did lack. Another one said, not a man among them was destitute. Two or three other ones which said, there was not a needy person among them. Them who? Them 10, 15,000 people in the church at Jerusalem. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe that actually happened?
Yes, sir.
That you could have gone to every one of these peoples where they were staying in their house, where they were living, and asked them, are you okay? Are you behind? Do you have enough? And every one of them, glory to God, would have said, hey, I'm good. God's taking care of me. My bills are paid. I'm caught up. I mean, really? Thank God. There was no poverty. A couple of translations said, there was no poor among them. The CEV says, no one went in need of anything. Said out loud, no one.
No one.
Went in need,
of anything.
Now you'll find even unbelievers that'll quote some of these verses and pull out a phrase here and there and try to justify governmental control and socialism. And communism. What do you mean? Well, that's what we're going to do. What they did in the Bible. We're going to take it from the people who have it and redistribute it to the people who need it. No, they won't. I said, no, they won't. Look at history.
That's right.
Look at every place that has ever been tried. Ever. Oh, they took it. Oh, they took it, all right. And then it stopped. They took it. And then 30 years later, 50 years later, the people got poorer and poorer and poorer and poorer. Why? Because that's not in the Bible. No taking. No taking. That's what we looked at that a few lessons back about when Ananias and Sapphira lied about what they had sold and given. Mm-hmm. And Peter looked at them and said, look, while it remained, wasn't it yours?
Yes,
what does that mean? Couldn't you have done anything that you wanted to with it after it was sold? Was it not in your own power? Mm-hmm. Nobody told you you had to do this. And so, no, don't you let somebody convince you that they're going to control you and tell you what to do. In the New Testament church, we have the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. And everybody is supposed to pray and listen to Him and be led by Him. And you'll find when we are that there will be all of this confirmation. You'll find if this one's being led by the Spirit and this one's being led by the Spirit, oh, wow. You find out about it and realize the Holy Spirit's working in all these places at the same time. It's the only way to get it right. Man will just mess it up every time. We're talking about being filled with the Spirit. We're talking about being led by the Spirit. That's how they did this and why it was so successful. Now, notice what it says. Neither, verse 34, was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. One thing, we're going to get into this, I think, later, maybe not today, but one thing, as you grow spiritually, the way you see things changes. And as you develop in God, you become less selfish. God is love. developing in God is developing in love, which means you outgrow some selfish things. But you also begin to realize the temporary nature of all of this. You don't just live for this world and this life and these things. The Lord wants us to have some things and enjoy some things, but He does not want us to idolize these things, because that's deception. And covetousness is idolatry, the New Testament says. You can make too much out of a thing. Just about all of us have at some point, sometime, sometimes in your immaturity, in your childishness, God wants you to have a nice place to stay. But you can get house on the brain. You know what I mean by that? Yes. And it's just house in the morning, yes. House at noontime, house when the sun goes down. Well, that's too much house, right? Yes. Too much house, not enough God, mm-hmm. Not enough church, not enough gospel, not enough other people. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Yes. It feeds selfishness. And as you grow and mature, you want to get to the place where you are so secure in God, you have everything that you need in God, you can be happy with the house or without the house. Come on, y'all with me or not? You don't have to have that to be fulfilled and content. And it's only when you get to that place that God could really add it to you without it taking you away from Him. Can you see that? There are things you actually have to die to before God could add it to you. He's not going to add something to you that'll take you away from Him. And that you care more about than you do Him, or that will interfere with you doing His will and plan for your life, or helping other people. And so as you grow and develop spiritually, the way you see things is different from the way people in the world see them. You begin to realize everything down here is in the process of rusting, fading, wearing out, rotting, right? It'd be foolish to try to fall in love with a car or a house. And people try it. They try to talk to it and hug it, and it will never love you back, ever. It's wood and steel and rubber and plastic and metal. It'll never love you. And I used to teach in a Bible school years ago, and we were at lunchtime, and I heard some of the new students were talking amongst each other, and they were talking loud, so not like I was trying to eavesdrop, but I heard them. One of them was trying to say all the stuff that they had supposedly believed for, but it was questionable, you know. And somebody else was saying, you know, and they had like, they're actually kind of just bragging a little bit. And finally, one guy who'd been quiet the whole time, he said, "Well, so what? Your pile of ashes will be bigger than mine." Is it all going to burn at the end? So, don't get too infatuated with it, because you can't take it with you. Right? And it's not going to last. Everything down here, the Bible says, is going to melt with fervent heat. As you develop spiritually, you begin to see things differently. You begin to see money differently. Not as something you crave, certainly not as something you lust after and long for. It's just a tool that you use. And you can be just as happy with a little of it as with a lot of it, or in between somewhere. That's not where your peace comes from. That's not where your joy comes from. And so spiritual people are not covetous people. And so they're not talking about things all the time. And it's not all about getting money and getting more money. "Neither was there any among them that lacked. As many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet." And what happened? Distribution. We talked about that last class. Distribution was made. to every man according as he had need. And we saw, won't you turn with me while I'm talking to Mark, the 10th chapter. We had looked in yesterday's class in John where that distribution was made of the little boy's lunch, and how that Jesus broke off pieces, gave to the disciples. They in turn broke off pieces and handed to somebody at the end of the row in a group of 50. And then they broke off and handed. The miracle of multiplication happened in the distribution, in the giving, in the sharing. I say it like this: Holy Spirit led giving. Holy Spirit led, directed sharing, distribution. In Mark, the 10th chapter, this is the account of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. And down about verse 20 or so, this young man came running to Jesus, if you look at all the accounts of it, and he fell down. He had asked him, "What can I do," verse 17, "to inherit eternal life?" And he told him about the commandments. And he said, I've done this. And verse 20, I've kept these from my youth. So he's a good man, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's obeying the command. He believes in God, obviously. And well, why did he run up there and fall down and say, "I want eternal life"? I mean, something's good is happening in him, but then at the same time, why did he run, fall down, and he knows he needs something else, right? Something inside him is telling him, "I need to go further. I need something else." Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor." If you read what we just saw in the book of Acts, isn't that exactly what they were doing? Huh? Well, where'd they get this then? They got that from Jesus. And their leaders, Peter and different ones, are ones who were with Jesus the day he said this. In this same passage, Peter asked Jesus a question about this. So they were just, they're doing what Jesus talked about. And it said, "Give to the poor and you'll be broke, but you'll be happy." Now I know that sounds like a joke, but it is necessary to talk about, because the enemy is such a liar and such a deceiver that he will do his best to convince you that if you try to give like these people gave, Book of Acts and all that, you'll be broke in no time. And you are just a fool. Well, is Jesus giving them bad advice here? Y'all are quiet. Hold on. Well, I'm going to help you out. "Give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and be broke." No, he didn't say be broke. People have assumed that. People have tried to wedge that in there. Mm-hmm. No, he didn't ask him to take a vow of poverty.
That's right.
No, he didn't. He never asked anybody or told anybody to take a vow of poverty. Are y'all with me or not?
Yes.
These are men's ideas. This didn't come from the Lord. You remember Zacchaeus, when he saw Jesus up in the tree, you know. And Jesus said, "Come down out of there. I'm going to your house to eat today." Oh, man, he was thrilled. And then all of his tax collector buddies showed up at the meal. Oh, they were hated. They were hated in the community. And he stands up, Zacchaeus, in the middle of there at the meal. He says, "Lord, behold, the half of my goods I'm giving to the poor. And if I have taken advantage of somebody, I'm going to restore it to them fourfold." And Jesus said, no, all or nothing. All or nothing. No, he didn't. He said, Salvation has come to this house today. And I'm sure some of the Hebrew folks from the temple were about to fall out because he's saying, tax collector, him and his house are saved. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. No, he didn't. So what is it? All or half? How about a third? Would a quarter be okay? See, it's not the same thing for everybody. And what? It's not about being poor. And he's not asking them to take a vow of poverty. He said, you'll have treasure in heaven. And verse 23, how hardly shall those that trust in riches enter into the kingdom? He said, Peter said, we've left all and followed you. He said, there's nobody that's done this that will not receive 100-fold now in this time all these things and in the world to come eternal life. That's not being broke.
That's right.
I said, that's not being broke.
That's right.
That's not being broke in this life. Mm-hmm. Now in this time. Somebody say, this is God's will.
This is God's will.
For me.
For me.
For my whole life.
For my whole life.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, our time's up again today. Say it like we do. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. We'll see you next time here at Faith School. If you're enjoyed being with you again this week, the Lord is helping us. Our faith is growing for provision. At the end of the week, I always like to pray over, speak over our partners. I know many of you are, and you're welcome to join us if you're not. But one thing that we've been talking about is being a distributor. If you'd like to be one that God uses to, you know, to have more than what you need come into your hands, you got to be willing to obey Him. If you'll obey Him with $5, He'll trust you with 500, 5,000, and it just keeps going on. But if it stops with you, then you're not qualified to handle more. Father, I pray over all of our partners and all those that want to be a part of this. Bring seed into their hands that could pass through them to somebody else and show them who they should give it to, when and how, and where. Bring it into their hands, cause them to know where to sow it, and we purpose to do it gladly and willingly in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Watch how this happens this week. It'll come to you. Obey Him. Next thing you know, a harvest will be headed your way. We love you. We're believing with you and for you. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.